Blog Talk Radio.
Ma'adhotep, and greetings to everyone this day, this wonderful day. It's always a wonderful day when you can continue the fight, the struggle, the quest for true liberation. Yes, this is New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. This is one of our special editions because we are now ready to bring some of our new programming to you. We talked about it maybe over the past week or so. We've been telling you that we've been getting ready to kind of upgrade some of our communications and building a real network. And so we're going to introduce some of that to you tonight. Now, before we begin, we always like to give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we always are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And with that said, the word for tonight, of course, is self-determination, along with solutions, and of course, solidarity. So what we're introducing to you tonight, family, is what we, in fact, call self-determination, solution, solidarity Sundays. So we have begun to develop some real things to continue this work that we have in our midst, that we've been given to bring forward. Me, you, so many who probably may not even know, consciously know, but yet, they are, in fact, doing some of the work. But we've got to raise that conscious level now. We've got to have it so that some of them know, in fact, that some of what they're doing is lending to the liberation, the truth, the justice of our people. And the reason why I say this, family, is because I'm sure some of you can identify with the fact that at maybe some point in your life when you weren't what you would call conscious, but yet you knew you did not like the system, or you knew or saw injustice and knew that something was wrong with that. Well, that's what we're talking about when we say there are folks, our folks, that are doing things not necessarily understanding the ramifications or how much it really gives to other aspects of things. And so, you know, we really want you to understand that we understand. But before we do any more of that, we're going to share with you something that we feel is very appropriate for tonight. But also, we want to convey to you that two things. One, tonight's program, of course, is going to focus on self-determination, solutions with that, of course, and of course that brings about solidarity, and we're going to blend this together so that we can be holistic and make certain that we can have the victories that we know are ahead. So, with that said, tonight's topic, or we have two actually, but we're going to talk about a couple of things in regards to the self-determination idea and concept that we have. But again, before we do, what I'd like to do is share with you that today is, of course, the day that Brother Marvin Gaye made transition. Tomorrow is observed as his Earth Day. So what more can I say except to just say what we all been asking and know, and it's just so sad that this was said, what, 35 or so years ago? Well,
there's far too many people you know to bring some love to this day. Father, Father, we don't need to
minister.
So you can see what's going on.
Going on. Well, we don't know by now. I guess we'll never know. I mean, imagine again. That was brought about how long ago? Meaning when Marvin Gaye penned that, how long ago was that? Just unbelievable, unbelievable. But nevertheless, again, today would mark the anniversary, or I don't want to say the anniversary, but this is the day, April 1st, that Marvin Gaye made transition. And, you know, we definitely want to be thankful for such a powerful spirit and artist and a modern-day griot, you know. We have to put it into his proper perspective because he definitely spoke truth to power. But at any rate, tonight we are going to talk about a couple of things. We said self-determination, solutions, and solidarity Sunday. That's what we're talking about now. And we're going to be doing this at least once a month, every month, because consistency is key, but so is being consistent, period. Doing the work, of course. So now, for tonight. We're going to have Brother Ramasuz join us very shortly, and Brother Ramasuz, of course, raised the question the other evening regarding self-determination. So we're going to continue with that. We said that we would, and we're going to, but Brother Ramasuz is going to also give us a brief report on this weekend. There was a meeting here in Philadelphia with representatives from the UNIA. One of the officials of the UNIA recently returned from Ethiopia, or Ethiopia, as it is often said. Nevertheless, you know, there is some headway being made by various groups and organizations and individuals, and we always like to be able to share that information with you because it's important to know. It's important to be in tune, connected, and see and hear what other people are doing in our community. Many times we're not connecting those dots, and so we're not getting this information the way that we should amongst one another. So we have, right within our midst, folks that are doing fantastic things, but we don't know. Or for whatever reason, we don't get the information until, you know, somewhere down the road or if at all. But we want to help try to resolve some of that. So we're creating a network of independent media so that we can begin, and when I say we, I'm talking about folks of African descent, black folks, and yes, I do use the word black, and yes, I will continue to use it, and anyone that doesn't like it, feel free to call me anytime. I have no problem with it because I can back up what I say and think. I do believe in self-determination and practice it. So if you want to go up against that, come on with it. But as you can see, our format for New Day has kind of been bumped up a notch, meaning we're here to make certain that the work that many have talked about, that many have died for, that many left in our care, we're here to make sure we don't let them down, that we don't disgrace them, and so forth. And again, there are many brothers and sisters all over the country doing that. And so we want to make sure we can start connecting a little better because, again, solidarity. Now, I once had a teacher, a professor, an elder. That's what I like to call them for me, an elder, who truly helped me to know and grow and see the dynamics and some of the other things with words. And so we're going to start doing that a bit more here at New Day. So when I say the word solidarity, note that the first part of that word is solid, solid, which represents something that is obviously not weak, that is not falling apart, that is not, you know, dangling or just it indicates some form of concrete structure or something to that effect. So it is necessary for us to move in a framework and in a mindset that's going to now bring about what I call 3 to the 3rd power, which is power, prosperity, and peace. That's right. See, we're now going to reveal and convey to a greater extent what the Million Woman Movement Universal is really about. And so that for once and for all who thought that they knew, or all who trying to make sure they knew, that's going to now come to a quick and final end. Anyway, moving right along, we're going to go with you with, again, question 1 for tonight that we want you to respond to when we open up our lines and our chat room, and that is, in the 21st century, how should in North America engage, further develop, activate, implement self-determination strategies, plans, and work in the struggle for freedom and justice for Africa's original children? Woo! That's heavy. And then question number 2, what does it mean to be self-determined? And who should incorporate functioning in this or similar frameworks as it pertains to African freedom justice for our people? So that's the 2 questions for tonight. We're going to open up the phone lines very shortly. But before we do, we're going to give you one more thing to ponder, and then we're going to get some feedback from you as we proceed, because it's going to be a real interesting show tonight. Today, of course, is known as April Fool's Day. And you all know there's a whole bunch of fools running around here, without a doubt, and it's going to be even more before it's over and done with. But in order to begin to have that have less of effect on us as a people, as an individual, as whatever you care, but the bottom line is for it to have less of effect on our people, period. Well, these are a few things that we want you to know about April Fool's Day. Okay, but of course, the history of April Fool's Day is not only interesting, but another one of those things that needs to be both examined mathematically and from a social political analysis standpoint. So, let's see, what do we have here? A bit of history. The history of April Fool's Day, or, as it was originally known, All Fool's Day, is uncertain in terms of the actual date when it got started, but the current thinking is that it began around 1582 in France with the reform of the calendar under Charles the Ninth. The Gregorian calendar was introduced, and New Year's Day was moved from March the 25th to April 1st. So, originally, March the 25th through April the 1st was known as New Year's Week. It was moved to January 1st. Okay? Now, we're going to tell you more about that as we proceed. Just want to give you that a little bit so far. So let me just recap for you. In 1582, in France, April Fool's Week was implemented from, now note this, please, because we're going to review this again, from March the 25th to April the 1st was known as New Year's Week. And then later, and we'll tell you when this happened, January the 1st became New Year's Day. Now, what do you think of that? Well, anyway, we're going to get ready to go to the live line. We're going to come back to that question, or rather that information and your comments on it very shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Brother Ramsus, and we're going to talk a little bit about first a brief report on some of the activities or some of what occurred this weekend with the UNIA coming together, and of course the report specifically regarding one of the officers of the UNIA coming from Ethiopia. Okay, and for those of you who do not know the real history of that land, we're going to be reviewing some of that too. But in the meantime, let's go to our live line, and joining us now is Brother Ramsus, who is, of course, the moderator and the founder and the facilitator of the radio blog known as Legacy of a Nation. And he also does, on a, I believe, quarterly basis, something known as Only in America. So, without further ado, Brother Ramsus, you on this line?
Yes, I am. Greetings.
Greetings to you.
And all I can say is this has been a power-packed weekend. Let me start out by saying I want to thank all of the new listeners to the Legacy of a Nation, which may have emanated from your program or may have emanated from others who listen in on the Internet and what have you. But I certainly want to thank all of them for chiming in. Friday night, we had a wonderful discussion, which led into Saturday night when we did a message to the people. The speech that was done from the President General of the UNIA, the government of the world, Singo Bayet. Okay, and when I introduced it, I said, this is greater than, not less than, not equal to, the State of the Union speech given by the President of the Corporation of the United States, because this is a message to the people, a true people. And we had that particular program and dialogue, and the people responded to it well. They responded to it so well that we had our special broadcast today, which is what you're speaking of, the report by our second President General, Yao Davis of California, who spent time in Ethiopia, and he brought back his report. And it was tremendous. And the people can get the full report by going to The Legacy of a Nation, okay, on Blog Talk Radio. You go to blogtalkradio.com and then type in The Legacy of a Nation and then type in April 1st for the specific program. We came on at 3 o'clock. Now, I have with me the president of the Atlanta division, which I hope you will give him time to speak. But he is one of the creators of the CBM network, which is, I'm not even going to tell you what that means. I will let him say it.
Oh, I know what it means. But before you do, but go ahead, brother. But before you do, I want you to finish your report, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going through everything I'm saying. I'll just let you know what pieces are available and will come in. Okay. It is what we need to do, and that's to come together. But we know what CBM means. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
each of the presidents from the divisions around the country, and we even had a member from South Africa here, okay? So from around the world, they came, and we were talking and giving the strategies for the reorganization of the UNIA ATL as it needs to be to move forward to represent the African people on the face of the planet. Okay? I will go beyond that, but nobody made those statements, so I won't say that.
No, I mean, please, because, I mean, surely there's going to be some questions and comments, but I want you to just, you know, continue to give your report, and, you know, I didn't want you to be interrupted, so please continue.
Absolutely. Now, the other, you know, that's as much as I really want to cover the UNIA for a second, because an assignment that was given was able to be completed. Our assignments are to help those who need the most help. You gave an assignment of a person needing help, both legally and with housing. In an instant, I was able to cover the housing, but people have their hesitations.
Mm-hmm.
So we just simply kept the prayer up on what can we do. So on the conference call line, we were able to connect to the legal representation that she needed, the legal knowledge that she needed. Now, she already knew a number of things, but it was just one or two steps that were left out that caused a great pain. So, see, that CBM that we were just talking about is how we need to network with one another to bring the solutions to the table. No one asked me, but I made the statement. Listen, my job is to facilitate knowledge. I don't have to know everything. I just need to know how to get to know everything. And then bring it together to the people that need it. You see, master facilitation. And It made me proud of the communications network that I have been introduced to be able to use. I use these tools as I know they should be used. It's for the people. It's for the people till the brakes fall off. Now, when they shut all this down, we got to be ready with our own.
That's right. You know that's right.
So we got to start talking technology. We have to start developing our young scientists to send up our satellites and all this. Get this
That's
now,
right.
while we still depend on external sources.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. When we develop ourselves back to the high beings that we are, meaning the God and Goddess, we no longer need this false technology.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer need it. Because we communicate with one another just at the glance and know everything at that moment. And I'm not even using the correct words of time, okay? Because it becomes instantaneous. We are a true astrological being. People may ask, well, damn, Ramesses, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you something. Since they've been killing and conducting scientific experiments, they are taking something from you that cannot be created in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and that's melanin. Now, on the shields of those projectiles that they send into space in order to make it back into this planet atmosphere, it's melanin. Ask yourselves, where the hell do they get it from? Because it can't be dug up out the ground. People, we got to wake up. We got to wake up.
So now, brother, let us go back to the report.
Yeah, move back in. Move back in. You got to ask specific questions because, like I said,
I can't because I don't know. See, I can't ask specific questions because I don't know what to read. I mean,
that's okay.
I can, to be honest with you, because I'm that firm, but.
I know. I'm gonna help us out. Look on your switchboard for a 404 number, 404 area code, right? And he and I will give a full report of what took place at today's mass meeting. He will help me out with that. Okay.
Okay. Well, I really didn't want the full report on today's mass meeting. I wanted the report on Ethiopia.
But that, he was there.
The
report. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not seeing a 404 number at this point. So what we'll do
Hold on. We'll do it like this. Hold on.
Wait. No. I see a 4. Okay, I see the 4405, that the last numbers of a number, of a telephone number. Is that the one?
No. That's okay.
In the meantime, let's do this. Let's go to the self-determination piece.
Hold on. My brother from Atlanta. Take an interview.
Okay, I'm not going to do it like that. So let me do this. In the meantime, let's go to the issue of self-determination. Okay?
Absolutely.
Because that is our topic for tonight, and of course that's connected to solidarity and solutions. But this is what I can do because I do have someone that has a comment or a question, and if you want to go handle that, I can go to this caller and then come back to you. Would that be better?
Absolutely. No problem.
Okay.
Because we're just dealing with it, okay?
All right, great. Okay, so you go handle that, and what I'll do is bring in caller at 4405. Do you have a comment or a question for tonight? Our topic, self-determination, solutions, and solidarity. Do you have a comment or something you'd like to share with us? Okay. Caller, your last digit of your number is 4405. Okay. They decided, I guess, to not talk. Okay. Remember, family, if you push 1, that means that you are indicating you want to get on the mic. Okay? If you don't want to get on the mic, do not push 1, please. All right? It just wastes unnecessary time. Okay. So now we're going to try again. All right, I see Sister Manera. I know Sister Manera got something to say about self-determination. So we're going to go to Sister Manera over in Newark. And, again, our focal point for tonight is self-determination, but with solutions, meaning, okay, and we're going to even do a little better in the future and define some of what we're talking about just in case someone needs some clarity or some better understandings about some of the words or some of the things that we're saying, because there are some different philosophies or some different approaches, and we need to be able to share that. So we're going to do some of that as well, but some of that in the future. But right now, let's stay focused on self-determination. Sister Manera, how you be tonight, sis?
I'll be all right. How you?
one of my topics, you know. You know, so what I got to say about it, I got to say is that if we don't realize by now that the government or any other mint is going to do anything for our people by now, with all this stuff that's happening, I don't know what it takes for our people. But anyway, just to say that any organization without an economic program, you know, or component of moving towards doing for self by all means, and trust and believe. I know our folks pay our taxes, and we have the right to fight for our fair equity of resources through these taxes and different things that we pay into the system. We have a right to know where our money's going and fight for the equity. But, you know, we ain't going to go beyond a certain point. We should realize that by now. We should have been, it's long overdue. It's been, you know, happening to us for so long that, you know, I just don't know what it takes. But, of course, we should be developing a black nationhood. You know, if our leaders are not talking about that, they're not the leaders we're looking for. If our leaders are not talking about developing a black economic component, these are not the leaders we're looking for. If our leaders are not talking about, especially about what happened to our young brother, you know, our son, you know, most of our son, you know, with Trayvon and a lot of police brutality shootings that's happening to our sisters and our brothers, then if we ain't trying to build a black neighborhood, black watch club ourselves with armed and unarmed militias to defend ourselves, we got a problem. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, we gotta start, you know, developing stuff for our own, build our own community, you know, take care of our own family and our communities, because guess what? We already see it clear as day that nobody else is going to do it for us, and we need to stop begging the enemy to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. So I don't know what it takes, how many slaughtering of our people, you know, how many of our people going, putting their hand out, begging the enemy, you know, and they just ain't doing for us. We either got to cop out or sell out for them to give us something, you know, sell our other people out, the black, the high class, black folks, black elitists, you know, selling us out, you know, down the river to be a Democratic, a Republican, or all this other stuff that's going on. And we see that our black leadership has turned their back on us, you know, and they ain't really doing us nothing for us. So those are the individuals. If they ain't going to do nothing for us while they're in the seats, we're going to boycott them too. We're going to, like I said, set up our own progressive party to run our own campaign.
That's right.
To put some of these people out of office. So if we don't do all the things across the board that we need to do, to do for ourselves, we got a problem. So if anybody here, you know, what we're trying to put together, if they ain't really about it, you're on the wrong hotline. So you might as well hang up.
Woo! All right, well, and let me just say, just kind of not regress, but to just make sure I bring this to everyone's attention. So the Muneer mentioned police murders. And with that said, I would be remiss if I did not say that we're going to really continue to push forward for independent investigation into the murder of Rekia Boyd. This is the young sister that was murdered in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. I did talk to Chairman Fred a little earlier, and I should have known that he was supposed to call in, I think, last week, and something came up, and he actually ended up in Florida. He just came back. So he's going to give us a report on what he found when he went down to Florida. And, of course, you know, he was on the ground for real. So he'll be calling in on Saturday's program, our regular program. He'll be calling in, giving us the report on, you know, what happened when he went down to Florida. Stanford, Florida, in the surrounding area. But he's going to also give us a report on what is going on with Sister Rakia's family. There was a demonstration today, another one. So the folks, the community up there are, in fact, you know, remaining consistent. At this point, the cop hasn't been charged, hasn't been put on leave, none of that. So an independent investigation, he needs to be removed from position and so forth until further notice, and that's what we're getting ready to demand. So, you know, this is, okay, I'm not sure what that is. Is that somebody with
my little god baby in here trying to talk?
Okay, hey, sweetie, I know that's right.
Yeah, I got my little guy baby with this weekend, so he's
okay.
Huddled close to me trying to get in the phone. But anyway,
wonderful,
to piggyback on that, Empress, also, I just wanted to give a point of information that I don't know if anybody heard about the legislation that the governor of Indiana passed in terms of giving citizens the power to defend themselves. We need to seriously start looking into this because we got all of these, the police thugs, you know, Negro thugs running rampant in our street with this black-to-black violence, you know. So we need to seriously start looking into, strengthening and making some amendments to the laws, Second Amendment laws, because, you know, a lot of this stuff will not go down. If somebody, you know, they could be in a wild, wild west, if they trying to attack a sister or attack a brother for no apparent reason, you know, and folks have the right to defend themselves and the laws are protecting them on the book, just like this cracker George Zimmerman, you know, which he used the self-defense thing, you know, we need to start, you know, reviewing and studying the laws that will give us some power to defend ourselves and also have the right to bear arms under this amendment, being that a lot of this stuff is happening, you know, in an alarming number with our folks, you know, police brutality, black-to-black violence, you know, attack sisters, and our sisters definitely, like, you know, if you think the government or anybody going to defend you in terms of defending yourself, you got a serious problem. So you need to get out of that way of thinking. You have a right to defend yourself. If you got this kind of fear about protecting yourself and your family when your husband or your mate or whatever is not there with you, when somebody kicking in your door, you got a serious problem.
We're gonna talk more about that in a minute. I'm gonna look that up for Indiana so that when we have our next dialogue about that,
I'll send you the information if I could give you, but We need to seriously start, you know, using the law like this Zimmerman cracker did on his side, you know, and using our people that's within the law to help, you know, strengthen the laws, you know. All
and see, the reality of it is, according to their so-called Constitution or Bill of Rights, a person does have the right to defend themselves and to be armed. So that's not new information, actually.
Right. But see,
it's
see,
really
see,
just...
Right. See, certain states regulate them by, you know, folks having criminal records, you know, and felonies and stuff like that.
I got you.
So folks need to understand that some of their felonies can be expunged, you know.
Okay.
And you know, I'm working on now trying to get mine expunged so I can actually, you know, do some things. So, I mean, a lot of our people records could be expunged, and they don't even know. They just go along, you know, for years and years with these felonies or these misdemeanors on their jacket, and they probably been long time eligible for expungement. So these are some things we need to look into because it's the wild, wild west out here, and if you think you're gonna sit around and continue letting people beat you down in the streets, like, you know, dogs or whatever, down to the ground, shooting our people down to the ground. The folks got another thing coming.
No, that's right.
Correct.
All right, my sister. Well, you know, we're going to continue and keep this dialogue going on for quite some time, because with the work that we have at hand, this is all a part of putting these pieces together. So, as usual, I thank you for your comments and certainly for the information.
Yes.
And we're going to continue with this. I'm going to review what you sent and also look into some other things as well. And we're going to have a whole discussion around this particular issue in an upcoming segment. Okay?
Right on, sis.
All right. Peace. Good, thanks. All right. That was Sister Manira. And, of course, that's one of our sisters that's always calling in, always tuning in, always being on point to bring that information. Let's see. We're going to go to one more caller, and then we're going to go back to Brother Ramesses. I think he should be ready about now with that report. But for now, we're going to go to caller at 2161. You have a comment or a question for us tonight dealing with self-determination, solutions, and solidarity?
Yes, I do. Greetings.
Greetings to you.
My name is Scotty Reed, and love what I'm hearing. First time listening to the program. I very rarely, listen to Blog Talk Radio because there's a lot of noise on there, and it's refreshing to come across somebody that's talking about, putting in some real work and coming up with some real solutions. excuse me. I called in because I heard at the beginning of the program y'all were talking about technology. I'm a technology geek, so to speak, to use some of their terminology. And I wanted to make sure that the email that I sent you or the message that I sent you did not get lost. If you're like me, I get a whole lot of messages in my inbox on Blog Talk Radio. So I wanted to inform you that you had a message from Black Talk Radio. And it's providing a solution on creating your own media. Okay, I do believe in self-determination. I believe in cooperative economics.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to offer that as a resource. Also, I agree with everything that I've heard thus far. I think that there's a warrior spirit that has been reawakened in our people.
Mm.
But we have to be careful that the establishment Black leaders, and when I say establishment, I mean the ones who were chosen that we did elect to speak for us, that they do not take this collective anger and misdirect it for the purposes of the people that they work for. It's very, we have to be very vigilant and very careful. I've seen it too many times, grassroots movements get hijacked by the establishment through these people. So we just have to be very careful. Each and every one of us are leaders in our own right. Okay. We each have talents. We have talents in specific areas that the next person may not. And it is only through collective work that we can utilize all of our full talents to the benefit of our people. So that's all I wanted to add. Love what I'm hearing. You put me back on mute. Thank you.
All right, brother. Well, thank you. Oh, and truly, I appreciate your call. We appreciate your call, and welcome to our new network, and we call it NU Network. But please continue to tune in, and thank you again. All right. Now, wow, that was fantastic. I mean, Brother Ramesses said we need to create and have our own technical, people and bring this thing forward, and Brother came right in, and that's what we're talking about, because we said we could speak truth to power, and obviously it's true, it's real. So we know we're moving in the right direction, and as the brother indicated, I know firsthand how movements have been and have and will be in the future, by the way, but have been hijacked, dismantled, and so forth. This is why it sort of took a little longer to bring forward the Million Woman Movement, because of the sabotage and the internal opportunists that were sent in. But, fortunately, we were able a bit more than others, because there have been some organizations, some movements that never survived the internal agents and other things sent in. So we were blessed because we were able to stay on point, stay consistent, ride the storm, and rise above it all. And so now we're able to bring forward our universal movement. So I thank Brother Scotty and all of you, you know, especially those of you who have continued to support in whatever way possible. I mean, it's just been such a blessing. And now to be at this point where we're really now able to come forward, and that is, of course, exactly what we're going to do. One thing I want to mention before we go to back to Brother Ramos's, remember, do not forget, later on we're going to revisit this day being April 1st, being, of course, All Fools Day, and, of course, we want to kind of go into who the real fool is, because at this stage of the game, again, we are so blessed to have had ancestors that have come before us who have done a tremendous amount of work to prepare us for now so that we can really fight in not just the physical and the mental, but also in the spiritual way. So we are truly dealing with this holistically. So as the brother just mentioned, we have to be careful. Indeed, we must be careful. But, brother, let me just say this to you. With the prices that have already been paid, I can assure you some of us got it, meaning we learned it. We understand it. Not all of it, and we still got more to learn, and we'll continue to grow. But I can guarantee you some of us paid attention, learned some of the lessons, and are ready to do what is to be done. And again, the Million Women March proved it. It demonstrated it because it came out of the thought process that I'm now telling you about. You see, so we know that we're on the right track. I just didn't know about some of the other stuff that went with it. But certainly having to do that, and you talk about self-determination, that is one of the best examples in this day and age of self-determination all across the board. But we're not going to have that conversation tonight. We're going to go back to the live line in a minute. We'll also remind you, though, again, that today marks the unfortunate death transition of none other than Marvin Gaye, Brother Marvin Gaye. And again, we are truly, truly thankful for, you know, what he gave us, because if you have ever listened to What's Going On, then truly you can't tell that that was done more than 35 years ago or so, okay, because everything he says then is right now. And unfortunately, you know, that was just too poignant, I guess. So we just want to remind you of that, and we're going to play something else from Marvin Gaye a little later on from that album that really rocked the whole industry, because when it came up with Grammy and he didn't win it, folk were truly pissed because he should have won it. So as far as we're concerned, he won it. No questions about it. But again, we'll talk about that a little later on, too. What we're going to do now is go back to our live line, and I think we have Brother Ramasu's ready to come back in with us again. We're going to check in and see. Let's see. Brother Ramasu, is you on this line, my brother?
Yeah, I'm on this line, and the line I want you to go to is 5299.
Okay. I got you. All right, I'm going to bring our brother right in, and let's see if we can do that right about now. We should be patching him in right about now. Brother, are you there at 5299?
Yes, I'm here, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. Greetings. My Adhotep to you.
Greetings, sister and family. My name is Russ Marvin, visiting Philadelphia, Pennsylvania from Old Atlanta. And I'm the president of the Atlanta Division, UNIA Atlanta Division 421. And I just wanted to respond to a couple of your questions. And I've been enjoying your program, especially your topic on self-determination, solidarity, and one other word you had mentioned, I don't remember it at this time. But
solutions.
I wanted to respond. Solutions, right. Okay. I wanted to respond on all of those points along with first, giving you just a little report on what took place today as far as the presentation by Brother Yah, his return from Ethiopia. And I know you're interested in hearing that.
Absolutely. Now, Brother Yah, before you begin, let me just ask one thing. Is it any way possible you can move just to another location to see if we can get a better reception? Because, Brother, we want to hear you. But I'm having just a little bit of muscle sound behind you.
How am I sounding now?
Yes, you sound very much more clearer. Thank you.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, Brother Yah put on a beautiful presentation today, and the presentation focused on his trip to Ethiopia just a few months ago, and he took a delegation with him to Ethiopia, and one of the purposes of his trip to Ethiopia, by the way, brothers and sisters should know that Brother Yah is the second assistant president general for the government of the UNIACL, formed on August 31st, 1920. And this is part of his responsibilities as second assistant president general to be developing ties between internationally for the African people. And he's made many visits onto Ethiopia, but this one was a very special one, where this afternoon he was able to show a DVD of his meeting of the president of Ethiopia. And it was a very successful trip, and he was able to tour the palace of Emperor Haile Selassie I. But Brother Yah said today that the Ethiopian officials didn't give him the full tour of the palace, and that's what he wanted to see, the full palace. And we were able to see it on the DVD, and it was beautiful, magnificent. He brought a lot of pictures back and so on. And he told us that in order for him to get to be able to see the full palace and to see all the treasures that Ethiopia has, that our people have had from the beginning of time, that he's going to have to do more than just come to visit Ethiopia, that he's going to have to implement certain programs to uplift brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. So he presented he wants to have a science and technology workshop for the youth of Ethiopia. And he returned back here to the United States to gather support, because he's supposed to be meeting this week in D.C. with the Ethiopian officials to go to the next level in preparation for his return to Ethiopia in July. So,
wonderful.
So, very wonderful. And he shared with us that he was able to connect with other brothers and sisters on the continent that's dealing with aviation. He met this one brother. I forget which country he said it was from, but this brother had his own airline company, and he had three airlines in this country, and he had invited him to become a guest speaker.
Brother, rewind for one moment. Did you just say that there's a brother that has his own airlines company?
Yes, he has his own airline company. I forget, I don't want to, so much countries in Africa, but I call them states because Africa is one nation still. So I forget which state which country he said the brother was from. But after I've been finished speaking, Brother Ramathas is going to give you the numbers to get a recorded playback so you can hear the full presentation from Brother Yah Davis, Second Assistant President General. So what had amused me when he was talking, he was sharing with us that throughout the palace and throughout Ethiopia, lions are used as guard dogs instead of dogs. We Africans, we use the lions. And he said when he had went to the palace and thing, he said they have this palace lion, and he sits up on top of, you know, the high point in the palace, and he sees everything that's happening and so on. But he had showed a picture with him standing next to a lion inside the palace. But he said, back in the days, those lions was real, but that was just a picture. But the lion looked so real that he was standing next to. And it was such a great presentation. And let me finish what I was telling you with the brother who had the airlines. What he said is that he had invited the brother to be one of the presenters in reference to science and technology in Ethiopia. And he was wondering how he could get the brother to Ethiopia, because the brother must have been on the western coast of Africa. But then he hit himself in the head and said, oh, shoot, that brother has his own airline. He could fly. So Brother Yah is a great presenter. And this trip that he took focused up on educational and goodwill mission to Ethiopia. And he was able to bring a whole bunch of supplies with him to Ethiopia, books, clothing, medical supplies, and along with brothers and sisters who haven't been to Ethiopia. So, as I would say, Brother Ramesses, at this time, if you could please give the information so brothers and sisters who may even miss Yah's presentation can listen to the rebroadcast.
Oh, wonderful, my brother. Well, thank you so much. I mean, that does sound like that was a powerful presentation, and I'm certainly looking forward to hearing it. It's going to be very interesting because there's some things that we've been working on our end as well. And, I can't wait to connect some of these dots even further. So by all means, Brother Ramesses, what's the number where folks can hear the broadcast or hear the presentation?
Of course, that's Blog Talk Radio. And you simply type in The Legacy of a Nation. And you would look for the April 1st program.
Okay.
I probably have to go in and edit the name, but it's going to be under Ramesses. Okay. My Sunday programs are simply named Ramesses because we're going to our metaphysics talk. But today was a real blessing. It was wonderful to hear the information that came forward. But the whole day has just been a full day of self-determination and solutions. I mean, I'm sitting back and I'm listening to the brother describe what took place.
Okay, I'm starting to get an echo from you.
We've got to just wait a little bit and... all of the events that took place today, from the Blog Talk program to the conference call to your program, they all line up under one banner, and that's self-determination and solution. They all line up under one banner. So, it's greatly appreciated. The information networks that we have began to connect together.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking about what keeps us apart at certain times, and then what will bring us together. So we need to expand our minds and get past the definitions placed on us by others.
Mm-hmm.
For the sole purpose of separation. And just like you came in and said, black, and if you want to argue with me, bring it up. Okay?
That's right.
because we separate ourselves amongst, and I hate to use the word pettiness, but because of someone else's definition, that's what takes place. We separate ourselves on petty differences.
Mm-hmm.
Differences that we should push aside and come together. Unity and solidarity.
Well,
the working together. That is the solution to everything we face. Changing the face of our deity, looking at ourselves as God and Goddess. To who we really are.
Now, see, what you just said, brother, that for me really goes into providing solutions. See, what our program is primarily for, and it's not to say that we will not reiterate things that people already know. Needless to say, we have to continue to do that. But what we're more inclined to do here at New Day is to bring about the solution, the information, and the dialogue that deals with solutions. And what you just said is where we put that in that category of solutions, being thinking and knowing who we are, looking at ourselves in the way of being the true God and goddesses,
See, these are solutions, and we've got to be very clear and very adamant about that type of dialogue mentality, because these are the things that will help us to become out of this modern day mental slavery. These are some of the antidotes. These are some of the remedies. Now, note again, I just used two words, and I use those two words specifically. Why? Because if we're going to do this, and we are, we have to understand methodology, strategy, and other things of that nature. So, from a mathematics standpoint, from a Kujichangalia and Kaumba standpoint, meaning self-determination with creativity, we've got to apply formulas, you see. And so what Brother Ramos would just said again is for those who maybe just tuned in the first time or coming back in to tune in or whatever, what will be always fundamental is know thyself. That's a solution. That's part of the solution. There's many aspects to this, but certainly a few of the things we just mentioned are definitely the things that we're going to be focusing on. So, with that said, before you leave us, Brother Ramasuth, and I'm sorry, the brother again from Atlanta, please give me his name again.
Yes, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, my brother.
Yes, and I wasn't finished. That was just the first point I gave you, and I wanted to respond on your topic as far as self-determination, solidarity,
yes,
and solutions.
Right. That's where I want to get back to. But please give me your name again, brother.
Yes, my name is Ross, like Rastafari, R-A-S, Marvin,
mm-hmm.
Ross Marvin.
Got
yes,
you. Okay,
name.
I got it now.
Okay.
All right, so brother, please, that's what we want to do. We want to really, because see, talking about self-determination, as we will and have done and will continue to do, that's one part of it. But as you know, as we many of us know, if not all of us know on this line, the when, how, what, where, that's what we now have to get to. We already know that we need to do this, all right? When the idea of self-determination began to float into the black community via through the Nguza Saba and other concepts, we heard about it and knew about it. But see, the application of how to make it happen, it has been part of the problem. So, my brother Ross Marvin, please, on the issue of self-determination, please continue.
Yes, my sister, gladly. And your first name again?
My name is Empress.
Empress, yes, Empress. Yes, this is my first time tuning in such a lovely program that when I go back to Atlanta, I want to tune in on the regular. So, in reference to self-determination, solidarity, and solutions, brothers and sisters should know that the program that Brother Second Assistant President General Yah Davis presented today is in a building that has been controlled by we as black people, our ancestors, since 1940. Okay? This
mm-hmm.
building here, the UNIACL headquarters, international headquarters at 1609 Cecil B. Moore Avenue here in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
is an example. This structure here is an example of self-determination. And Brother Yah Davis, Second Assistant President General for the government of the UNIACL, also is working in the works of self-determination, race, verse, and nationhood. And
mm-hmm.
why I say that the UNIACL is self-determination, because brothers and sisters, we should realize that it is 92 years since 1920 in which our ancestors established this government for us. And it's a world government for all Africans at home and abroad. And we're talking about self-determination. And this government, inside of this government, we're equal to any other government on the face of the earth. The only thing is that we may not have a land. So therefore, because a government without a land, therefore you're not a country. But we do have land as African people all over the world. So
mm-hmm.
one of the best ways that the highest level that we can demonstrate our own self-determination as people is to become a member, well, really all Africans at home and abroad are members of the UNIACL government because it was formed for us, but actually to become a dues-paying member, which is $2 a month for the purpose of the upkeep of the government that was started by our ancestors. And as African people, you know, honoring our ancestors is something that is very vital and central for us. And we stand upon, as African people, 92 years of self-determination. And in our time now, this is the 10th administration of the government. And as the president of Atlanta Division of the UNIACL, I am a representative of the 9th successor of the Honorable Marcus Posaia Garvey, or the 10th president general in our time, the Honorable Senghor Joara Baye. So one of the greatest ways where we as African people can deal with self-determination is to leave Babylon system alone, leave white supremacy system alone, and let, in this time, build the government that was created for us. And this government, based upon international laws, exists for eternity, whether African people build it or not, because there has been no laws that came that disqualified the government. So based upon international laws, it always exists. So in the 21st century, we're building the government, and some of the programs of self-determination that we're dealing with is dual citizenship for Africans here in the diaspora with the continent. And we're not talking about dual citizenship with one specific country. We're talking about dual citizenship with all countries on the continent of Africa, because brothers and sisters who travel to Africa know that when we return, we're going to have to pay all kind of fees, like we're foreigners and things, and we didn't leave Africa on our own choice, so therefore we shouldn't have to pay to come back in and so on. Another program of self-determination is the Garvey Voice magazine. We black people, we must speak for ourselves. And in Atlanta, we put out the Whirlwind newsletter because it's so important for us as black people to have our own propaganda. And that's what's happened to the masses of our people. They've been bombarded and infiltrated and okey-doked with white supremacy. So it's like we don't even know ourselves, and we're faced with all kind of tribulation in the Babylon system. So to be part of the race-first government, remember, this government is the only government in the world that was created based upon the principles of race first for us as black people and pan-Africanism. So I wanted to mention that for brothers and sisters who might not be aware of that. And also, when we see the red, black, and green flag, we have to respect that as the flag that our ancestors chose for this government that was created. So this time, brothers and sisters, just see it as a cultural symbol, but we have to know that that flag first came into existence as we black people determine our own self-determination, and the highest way to determine self-determination is to have our own nation. And that was the flag that was adopted August 13th, 1920. And we all should know the pledge to the red, black, and green. And if we do have time, I would like to share the pledge with brothers and sisters, because we know the pledge to the red, white, and blue, but how much of us know the pledge to the red, black, and green? Because inside of the lyrics of the pledge to red, black, and green shows that our pledge to the responsibility of self-determination for our people. So that's just a little bit from the UNIA perspective. And I'd like to share what I'm doing in Atlanta on a different perspective with you, with self-determination that answers all these questions.
What I'd like to do, because we have like two other topics that we have to cover for tonight, we are going to do a special session so that we will be able to dedicate a full hour or so to this dialogue without, you know, having to take a break or go into another topic. So if I would like to hold the pledge for tonight. Because
that's
there are
no
a lot
problem.
Of other areas that I really think at this point in time is going to be a bit more significant. Because, see, keeping in mind, for example, I had a conversation with one of the, I'm not sure exactly the title right now, but there's one of the sisters here in Philly is I think, the fourth assistant president general, Sister Basima.
Yes.
And I think I asked this because we have conversations often, and I asked a couple of questions that have been asked to me, because my relationship with the UNIA here in Philadelphia has been one that I've always embraced, but because particularly in the past of the I don't want to say the late, but the honorable Reedman Battle, you see, that was my elder in terms of someone who helped me to grow and develop. And my relationship with him was one that I will always hold dear. So I will always have an admiration and appreciation for him and Elder Gossett. And, of course, now Brother Ramasuz and Brother Ngozi and a few others. But the reality of it is, while I had a personal, more, you know, in terms of that being my elder, that was someone who I respected. But the reality is, in the community, there is that link is not there. And part of why that link is not there with more of the masses is because, and I know this, again, we talk about pettiness and so forth, but I have to raise these questions to see how can we resolve it. Meaning, I asked Sister Basima a few weeks back, I said, is there any way a person can be a member of the ACL? And the answer that I believe, if I remember correctly, she gave was no. In other words, you have to be a member of both the UNIA, or rather, if you are a member of the UNIA, then you're a member of the ACL, but you can't be just a member of the ACL, right? So,
well, I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with what the ACL is?
Yes.
Okay.
African Community Leaders, yes.
Right. And basically, the African Community Leaders is anybody who's doing black businesses and black
right.
things of business structure. That was the business aspect of it.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But
my
we
point
have to understand.
Is,
yeah.
Okay. But see, the point that I was making is, and I'm just being straight up and honest because that's what we have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone wants to be a universal Negro. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
But is there another way? So that's why I was asking, could one be a member? I mean, and again, from a business standpoint, because at least that's a start. That's a start.
Mm-hmm. I would like to respond to that. What I would say in response to that, my sister, what happened is that based upon laws, we can call it the Universal Black Improvement Association. We can take out the word Negro. I don't know if that's my right feeling that I'm getting, that the word Negro is more that what you're against.
Now, see, this is I've never heard that before. So this is very enlightening.
Yes. So I don't know if it was the word Negro or UNIA. Which one
Negro. No, it's the word
Negro. That's what
Right.
And then the reason why you have to understand that word there is so, certain things that goes with it. Number one is that we know that the races are Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid. Okay?
Right.
Number two, so we as black people represent the Negroid race. Okay? There's no race as African race or black race. The races are defined as terms as Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid.
It
let me
used
finish first.
To be.
And then the
it
other thing is
be.
That. Oh, okay, hold on. Let me finish. And what I'm saying is that, what do you feel about the United Negro College Fund?
I don't.
You feel that has to be changed?
No, I don't feel it has to
what
be changed. I need to say just.
This,
Let me answer the question.
Okay.
It needs to stay exactly the way it is. You know why? Because that's exactly what it is. Meaning, see, that's a whole other conversation, but I'm going to make that one short. See, I don't expect them, for real, I don't expect anything from them at all.
I understand.
Because they're there to be gatekeepers. They're there to keep our people deaf, dumb, and blind. And so for them to call themselves that, I'm like, yep, that's right.
Well, the reason why I mentioned that is just to show you in common in modern times where the word Negro is still mentioned. But let me tell you now why I mention it. What happened is that based upon international laws and based upon laws in general, if we were to change it to the Universal African
Improvement Association. What we've just done is wiped out 90 years
right.
of history
oh.
of our story.
Yes.
And that, in other words, we there's no government called United African Improvement Association. And if
right.
we change the word Negro, basically what we do is that we're going to have to start from scratch. We ain't got
right.
a government then.
Oh, no, please hear what I'm saying. See, I know what you just said. I've been
mm-hmm.
well-schooled. I'm
mm-hmm.
saying if I'm in the community, okay, and I mean, again, I understand and overstand, as they say, the many reasons of why. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything to try to change that or negate it. What I'm referring to is what I know that's real in walking these streets as I do every day. And
mm-hmm.
all I'm trying to do is to figure out, is there any kind of way that something can be developed that can help someone make that transition to the knowledge of what you just said? Because everybody ain't ready for that like that. But yet, people want to be involved. It is no question. And it's just a matter of, is there some other kind of way, without trying to remove from the essential of what we know has to be? Okay, and the reason why I say that is because even though I'm young in all of this in comparison, I know I've had to make adjustments to accommodate where our people are and the diversity of that. If I'm going to bring and raise my sisters up, even though I'm going to stay focused and on point fundamentally, and I'm not going to change none of that, but at the same time, I have to create components, units that will allow a sister who may be bleaching her hair blonde, pink, and yellow, I have to have her to know that you are welcome in this and that there's levels of growth and development that you can ascertain, you see. But at the same time, I also know I got sisters on the other end of this who really is not going to be appreciative to some other kind of nonsense or drama. And I have to be cognizant of that and try to, keep some balance and blend. So the point, again, that I'm making and raising is there something, that's why I asked about the ACL, is there some component, some aspect of something that a brother or sister can belong to, be a part of, but not necessarily.
Be a member, of course. In the UNIA,
you
can also be a volunteer with the Black Cross Nurses, and you don't have to be a member of the UNIA to be involved
okay.
in that aspect, the Black Cross Nurses.
Okay.
And, you know, Sister Basima is the international director for the Universal
yes.
African Black Cross Nurses, and you
yes.
don't have to be a member. You can just volunteer and help whichever way you want. And also, you can also volunteer the UNIA divisions. Certain things you won't be able to get admittance into, like, for instance, the convention and so on.
Okay.
But I
okay.
think, what is it, what does it cost each one of us to just give $2
right.
each month to the upkeep
right.
of our government? Is
right.
it the word
right.
Negro that is preventing us from this? Because $2, in a month, we give Babylon System over $100. And this is something that our ancestors created for us. So whatever the hang-ups that we may have, because now it's almost 100 years later since this was created and times have changed, and the word Negro, which was the popular word for blacks during those times, ain't the popular word
right.
for blacks in this
right.
time. Still, that does not mean that we should not honor our ancestors by
absolutely.
Continuing the works, what they started for us as a people. So
right.
nobody has to become a dues-paying member to the UNIA.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage
mm-hmm.
everybody to always follow your heart. Okay.
Right.
And if your heart mm-hmm. is not saying this, then don't do it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what it's
mm-hmm.
going to take to get the masses of our people involved is that each organization, each black organization, and also the government for the UNIA has to put out race first programs, programs them that
absolutely
exist to help our people, programs that deal with self-determination, right, programs that deal with solidarity, programs that have solutions for us as a people,
right,
in order
right
for this thing to happen. And I guarantee you, all of us here in the UNIA is working very hard, but at the
mm-hmm
same time, it's not only in the UNIA working. We're working in many other different black organizations, and
mm-hmm
the solution is that we can't separate ourselves no more. We're going to have to come
right
together.
Oh,
as a people.
I agree.
I totally agree.
I mean, having been the founder and the visionary for the largest gathering in the world of
mm-hmm
not just black women, but of any women ever,
mm,
I understand it very clearly. Okay,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
to bring 2.5 million people together and then to try to keep some form of consistency from that, and again, with no corporate sponsoring, with no benefactors, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that we haven't been embraced, you know, because of showing the type of self-determination, but again, that's a whole other conversation for another program. But I truly know, without a shadow of a doubt, the necessity of making certain that we stay race first, that we stay self-determined. I understand it without a shadow of a doubt because it was demonstrated in
mm-hmm
one of its fullest capacities in this day and time, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I applaud the continued work that you and the other brothers and sisters of the UNIA are doing. I think it's clear that people can still do some volunteer. I know I'm saying it right here live. I'm certainly committed to doing volunteer. I've never turned away from doing volunteer work. In fact, to be honest with you, 90% probably what I do is volunteer. Okay.
True. For many of us who are doing the works for our people, we don't get
absolutely
paid for what we do. We're doing it for
absolutely
love. But
that's
I definitely
right
want to integrate the mathematical kujik shagalia, when, how, what, where, that response
mm-hmm
to
mm-hmm
the topic of self-determination. I have spoken already about the UNIA. Let me speak about some other black organizations. One organization in specific is the Collective Black People Movement.
Okay.
Every 24 hours that goes by, and this is in response to the sister Miranda that spoke mm-hmm earlier. Yes,
sister
your girlfriend.
Manera. Sister Manera?
Yes, Manera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if she's from New Jersey. But anyway,
yes,
still.
She's from Newark.
Okay.
New York. Mm-hmm.
Newark, right. She's the member of an organization that
yes,
I'm telling you about, the Collective Black
I know
People Movement.
Right.
So
I'm familiar with
the
your organization. I've
okay
spoken with members of your organization before.
Okay. So this is what I want to share with you from the Collective Black People mm-hmm Movement. Every 24 hours that pass by, there's $8.1 million that's not being collected by us black people. Okay. It's 1,000 black people come together and put 27 cents each day in a collective account. After a year, we'd generate $98,550. So that was in response to Sister Manera, response saying that as a black organization, if we're not dealing with economics, then we shouldn't even be on the call. So I guess I get my clarification to be on the call. Okay, so now you're talking about the when, and I'm talking about now. And I'm
that's
talking
right
you say the how, okay? This is the how. Everything that you heard on this call, everything that you've heard before this call that is conscious and positive, everything that each black person is doing that is positive for our people, everything that every black organization is doing that's positive for our people, everything that every black spirituality, family, business is doing that's positive for our people, everything that every black individual is doing that is positive for our people, all of this has to be integrated into one body for the upliftment of our people, and while keeping unity without conformity, because each organization has their specific role for people, Each individual have their specific skills, talents, and intelligence, and with the collective Black people movement, we're having the skills, talents, and intelligence revolution. In other words, my sister, before we even make any progress as a people, right now we got so much holes in our bucket that we're losing so much water, we're losing money each year. We get so much millions of dollars, but at the end of the year we ain't got nothing to show for it. And that's because we're not running efficiently as a people. So what we need to do as a people, we need to organize ourselves and put everything that has been said tonight on this call can fit in a certain area. In other words, out of the million things that Black people have to do, 75% of these million things can be organized into 50 different areas. And that's how the collective Black people movement come up with the 50 different departments of our people's skills, talents, and intelligence. And we're having the skills, talents, and intelligence revolution where we're uniting and organizing our people based upon what our people are doing. So the 50 different departments include from activists, I'm going to name all of them, administration, arts and crafts, brothers, union, business operations, construction, correspondence, culture, dance and theater, dating relationship, documentation, their vital education, elder council, employment, engineering, farming, produce, film and recording, fundraising, health, nutrition, hip-hop, history, incarceration, law, medical, legal, media, membership, operations, physical fitness, poetry, political, promotions, reggae repatriation, reparations, research, security, very vital, sisters, human special. In other words, our people have skills and talents in all these different areas. So what the CBPM is doing is uniting our people based upon our skills and talents and intelligence, because when we unite our people based upon what our people is doing, we're able to unite all the educators, because there's educators in Black, all the different Black organizations, there's educators in all the different spiritualities and so on. So we're organizing our people based upon what our people are doing. Then we're laying proactive plans for each of these 50 different departments. We already have the draft goals and responsibilities laid out. We already have in each department of our people's skills and talents 100 to 300 members who have expertise in this area or interests or just want to be kept up to date. And so that's very vital. The first step so that we can run more efficiently as a people, each one of us, the 1.4 billion African people around the world, each one of us have vital skills and talents that can be used to help build our nation as Black people. So we got to do the job. We got to take our own census, our own Black census, to see what we're working with as a people. And at the Collective Black People Movement website, there's over 600 pages at this website of information on African people, connecting thousands and brothers and sisters together. Because I told you, what has to be done is everything that we're doing as a people has to be integrated into one body for the upliftment and for the benefit of us as a people. So how we do it? We do it by gathering our people, and because in other words, unity has always been an aspiration, a hope of our people. But CBPM is an engineering design where any hope or aspiration to fly in the sky, it can be built. A hope or aspiration to unite 1.4 billion people can be done, one brother, one sister at a time, and building it up, and so on. So what we do is we document our people. We document our people's skills, talents, intelligence. We document things and what are people doing. We document people who need a job. We document jobs for our people. We document brothers and sisters killed by cops. We need to organize all the stuff that's happening for us. And what you see now with the 600 pages of information on African people at the CBPM website is just the tip of the iceberg of a reflection, of a mirror of what we are doing as Black people. And it's so much things that we're doing. If we integrate this thing, everything that we're doing into one body, nothing can be more powerful than the unification and the collective of all Black people united together around the world. Not Donald Trump, not Bill Gates, not all of America or Europe, because we outnumber all of them. So if that's the case, and then that's what we're going to get power as Black people, even if we have to sacrifice our lifetime to just unite our people and gather and document them to people, because if we wait on our people to come and say, all right, I'm going to join, it ain't going to happen. So what we have to do, we got to go out there
and get our people's information. In other words, how we, this collective Black People movement gathers our people's information is we gather our people's business cards, flyers, we document interviews on radio stations with our people and so on, and we compile all of this information and put it into our database, and then we put it up online so it's available for our people. So we have to promote, support, strengthen each one of us, period, from the get-go. So that's what the CBTM does from the start, where each member gets a web page and everything else. So mathematically, it's about numbers, okay? And every issue that we face as a people can be won if we have the numbers. So, and also when it comes to business, Black people, we got to recruit our clients in advance, okay? Mm-hmm. So getting up the numbers is so much, so very, very, very important for us as a people to have organization and to have organizational structure. By dealing with this now, we're able, as a people, to deal with the skills, talents, and intelligence revolution. Intelligence meaning education revolution. We got to have a program that nobody's going to be against. Who's going to be against intelligence, skills, talents, and intelligence revolution for us as Black people? Remember, we as Black people use our skills and talents and still to use our skills and talents to maintain, build the whole Western world. It's time now for us to use our skills and talents to build us up as a people. So a lot of times, like in Atlanta, they have events weekend to weekend. But what is being done in between the events? What is being done Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, till Saturday, the event come again? What is being done by the collective Black People movement, and anybody in Atlanta, Georgia, I'd like to invite you to visit our office every day, day and night. We're documenting, we're gathering, we're organizing, and that's what needs to be done by us as a people. We need to locally, wherever you are, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in Chicago, you need to gather your brothers and sisters. That's what we did at slavery time. We had to gather our people back together. It's no different because Babylon has us all going in different directions to survive. But we have to come up with a new way in building Black organizations in the 21st century. And this new way has to be able to allow brothers and sisters to move and do what they have to do during the daily path, but at the same time build unification. And all Black organizations have to adapt to that. That means no in the 21st century, meaning that we're not going to prevent a brother and sister to do what they have to do, but still that brother and sister can be part of the whole by us gathering and documenting that brother's skill and talent. And what we're doing is that, as I say, we're developing proactive plans in each of the areas of skills and talents for us as a people, and eventually each of the departments can become businesses for our people where we're able to employ our people. For instance, you know, the promotions department's responsibility, some of their responsibilities, is that they got to document every single location in the city of Atlanta or wherever they are that you can distribute flyers, business cards, and different things at newspapers, barbershop. They have to physically document these locations with who the contact is, their address, their phone number, their email, so that that way, whenever we have an event going on, somebody can go through the whole route and get the whole route covered with flyers at that information at those locations. Also, this becomes a business now because once we have mapped out the route, we can also distribute other brothers and sisters' information. So there's a lot of works that we can do daily that's going to lead to us as Black people being united and self-determined, build up the solidarity. So we, at the Collective Black People Movement website, it's not about the CBPM. It's about what each one of us is doing because you'll see at the CBPM website, we have currently about 30 states pages up. And those state, United States pages represent what brothers and sisters are doing in those states. You can go to the Pennsylvania state and you can see what brothers and sisters do in Pennsylvania. You can go to New York page and so on. That's what we got to do. We got to gather our people locally in each city, nationally, in each country, and internationally. We got to organize our people. For instance, you know, in Africa, we have about 30 pages in Africa at the CBPM website that covers information of brothers and sisters in those countries in Africa. We have another probably 20 pages of African people in Russia. We have the Chile page and Black people all over the world. And we need to know what's happening with us and so on.
All right,
so,
brother. Well, I think what we need to do now, we have a pretty good idea, and I think the question has been answered. In terms of self-determination and solutions, you certainly presented I think, and very well, may I add, you have presented a lot of wonderful information. And if you would now just give out your website or any other contact information, and then that way people will be able to go to the website and
yes.
really be able to look at some of what you're saying a bit closer. And, you know, we know that many will get involved. So please give your website. Okay. And,
yes.
And
if it's possible, I just want to take one more minute because I made a statement before and I didn't clarify it. I said every 24 hours there's $8.1 million not being collected by us as black people. And I'll explain that in 45 seconds. What it is that 27 cents a day is change that we get at the end of the day. Most of us have that in our pocket and so on. And if there's 40 million black people in America and we use 30 million black people because 10 million might be children, and we elevate the consciousness of 30 million black people that at the end of the day take 27 cents and put it in a jar, if you take 30 million black people's consciousness raised to that level and take it times 27 cents, that equals $8.1 million each day that we're not collecting as black people. And this is not anybody bills money. This is not anybody rent money or children money or food money. 27 cents ain't none, and so on. So that's how I get the $8.1 million every 24 hours. My contact information, my name is Russ Marvin. I'm the president of the Atlanta Division, UNIACL Atlanta Division 421, and also I'm one of the founders of the Collective Black People Movement founded in 1995 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, wonderful. I'm certainly glad to hear that because, see, I was in touch with someone from the group a few months back, and then for some strange reason, the communications discontinued. I had someone on the show a couple of times, and we were building, but all of a sudden, we weren't able to get any more information. I've even left messages at the website. So I'm really glad now to touch base with one of the actual people who put it together, because what I've kind of learned is when, unfortunately, while a lot of people do a lot of wonderful work in a group organization, you know, the founder and the person that really labored through it the whole time, they really understand the necessity of keeping that communications going.
So with my contact information, so Solidarity, CBPM responsibility, every black organization, every black person, every person, grassroots person, they got to have a web page and presence at the CBPM website, whether they have money or not. Okay? Solidarity. So my contact information, Russ Marvin. You can reach me at the Collective Black People Movement website. 17 years now we've been gathering, documenting, and organizing our people's skills, talents, and intelligence. And we have two big databases with hundreds of thousands of cell information on our people's skills, talents, and intelligence. You can reach me at the Collective Black People Movement website, and that's www.c for collective, b for black, P for people, M for movement.org, CBPM.org, which is the initials of the organization, Collective Black People Movement. To call the CBPM, you can call 678-827-2276. That's 678-827-2276. And the last four numbers is CBPM, 2276, so CBPM. And email admin abbreviation for administration, admin at cbpm.org.
Okay.
And those three main contact information, you'll be able to reach myself or the administration department for the Collective Black People Movement. And I want to thank you so much for this time and to be able to share. And brothers and sisters, I am your servant. I am a black engineer, and my job is to engineer us to the top as black people. My job, I'm the engineer designer, web designer for the CBPM website. I spent the last 2 years, day and night, building 600 pages of the CBPM website. And now, any brother and sister whose information is at the CBPM website, and if you do Google search black organizations, we're running number 2 in the world. If you do Google search black people, we're running number 10 or 11 in the world. And that's because we're coming together in numbers.
No, that's right.
And I thank you.
Wow. Yes. Well, brother, I thank you, my brother Ross Marvin, for sharing this information. And, I mean, you have the kind of spirit and enthusiasm that I love because, you know, for some reason, unfortunately, and then we know some of the reasons, but, you know, too many of our people are like dead. You know, they're just walking around like zombies, and their energy level is you know, sometimes I have to really kind of pace myself because you can get into an environment and because the energy level is so, you know, just not motivating
or
inspiring.
It's not good. It drains you. It drains you.
Right, really. So it's so wonderful to talk with someone and to feel someone, you know, and not just the passion, but the realness of it. So I certainly thank you, and I thank Brother Ramasus for, you know, bringing you on, because this really, in talking, having this discussion, certainly, hey, you brought the information, and we completed our show for tonight in terms of focusing on self-determination and solution and certainly solidarity. So I thank both of you again. And I know our family listening audience has also appreciated this dialogue as well. I'm going to leave this thought for you. The Million Women March anniversary, 16-year anniversary, is coming next year. And it's interesting because it has already began its organizing phase. And interestingly, more so, is that we're looking for other cities to hold our 16-year anniversary. I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, you better tell me so you're already involved, and the last one to be involved. Don't cut me off. You better include me before you cut it off. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. That would be something beautiful to have in Atlanta, so I'm on board. Let me know what my marching instructions is.
See, Philadelphia did not treat us well, and in fact, they've been a pain in the behind from the administrative standpoint and from the so-called politician standpoint and the opportunistic people standpoint. So what I decided to do is let Philadelphia know, unfortunately, they're not the only city in the game. Or in the struggle, or whatever. They're just not. And we're not going to be disrespected. We're not going to be taken advantage of. We're not going to be exploited. So any city that we now go into that we're going to be bringing that kind of revenue, they're going to appreciate us, and they're going to let us know they appreciate us.
Oh, boy, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can see everything now. Well, I really appreciate loving you. Yes, my sister, just let me know. And please let me be on the team, the coordinating team and the legwork team, because that's where I work best with the works.
I know that's right. All right, my brother. Well, thank you again. And I look forward to talking with you soon and building with you, certainly in the future.
Sounds great, my sister. Race first.
Ma'at Hotep. All right, family. We were just talking with the president for the UNIA, ACL in the Atlanta area, and of course we had Brother Ramasus who was joining with us earlier. I want to thank both of them for a very powerful and wonderful dialogue. It was right on point because we talked about self-determination, solutions, and of course solidarity. And, you know, that's just, what can I say? We have met what we said we would do for tonight. And this is, again, Self-Determination, Solutions, Solidarity Sundays. Before we go to our last segment for tonight, we want to, again, remind you that we are, of course, giving respect to Marvin Gaye for his great artistry, his vision. And, you know, he was almost like what some might call a modern-day prophet, but certainly what I call a modern-day griot, all right? So just a few samples from none other than Marvin Gaye. And you know what? I also, let me think. I think Gil Scott-Heron, I'm going to check and see, but I think also Gil Scott-Heron's Earth Day was today as well. But I'm not sure. But at any rate, again, Marvin Gaye, what's going on? That album was then and still is, as they say, just, you know, beyond We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, family, so bear with us. We still, for some reason, can't seem to access the download for that particular cut. So we're going to kind of go back to our boards for a minute to see what's happening with that. Oops, okay, looks like it's trying to come up. But nevertheless, we want to remind you, if you want to communicate with us in the near future, you certainly can any day, every day, 24 hours a day. And that, of course, is nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We can also be reached by telephone. And, of course, that is at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. After we hear this selection from Marvin Gaye, we're going to go into April Fool's, All Fool's Day. Isn't it really time to show who the real fool is? Without a doubt. So for now, Marvin Gaye. Wanna holla. Now, if that don't sound like this today, what is? Taxes, war, crime increasing, trigger happy police. I mean, what year is this? While, of course, many are showing their support and respect for the family of Trayvon Martin, please also
keep the family in your prayers for Rekia Boyd, shot, murdered, shot in the head, 22 years old, by an off-duty cop in Chicago. As powerful then or now as it was then. And again, Marvin Gaye, I mean, that's music, you know. I don't care what nobody says, that right there, that will go on and on, because it's just, you know, exactly what it is. But anyway, speaking of what it is in America, today is April Fool's Day for some people, and, you know, some people act a fool every day, but from a systematic standpoint, these people are far beyond fools. You know, I laugh about it, or we laugh about it and say certain things about it, but it's very serious, and you all know that it is, and the diabolicalness of what they do is certainly not anything to laugh about, because they've demonstrated that they ain't playing. But it's good to begin to better understand how, in fact, the heck they did this stuff, okay? You know, as what we call myotic scientists now, all right, we got to break this stuff down, because we talked about justice. And in order for us to obtain justice, well, it's nice to say it, but how are we going to get it? And so, again, the rallies, the demonstrations, the this and that, of course, it's all needed, necessary. But there's also some other things that's necessary, and that is to really analyze this stuff, critique it to the degree that's necessary today. So that means breaking down some of their codes. So we need to decode the matrix, the system. Oh, that reminds me, speaking of the matrix, if not next week, we're going to have on very soon Sister Sophia Stewart, who is known as the mother of the matrix. I got a call from her the other day. She was on my show a while back. The lawsuit was still in effect. I do believe it has been settled finally. But again, Sister Sophia Stewart will be on our show very, very soon. She's known as the mother of the matrix. And for those who do not know, that is the one. And you could tell, because white folks would be talking about know the oracle and have to be a black woman. I mean, you know, please. So this woman really wrote the first whatever, and then they, you know, extrapolated from it. And God knows that I know how people do that kind of stuff. But anyway, she will be on our show very, very soon. We'll keep you posted. But getting back to today's day, April Fool's Day, which is what it was initially called. And again, it was initially a week from March the 25th up to April the 1st. Now, supposedly what happened was this, that when it was changed to January 1st, people were called fools, meaning it says that, I'm going to go right to it. It says, communications that traveled slowly in those days where only a few were informed of the change. And this went on for several years. So still others who were more rebellious, they refused to acknowledge the change and continue to celebrate the last day of the celebration, meaning April 1st. Okay, so essentially, these people in France were celebrating a week long of a new year,
Now, remember this, the new year for them at this point was in March. So y'all can kind of connect the dots on that. If not, we'll go over that a little later on about March. Okay, anyway, so April 1st being the last day, and that brought in the actual new year. Okay, so now they're saying here that it took a long time for information to get spread throughout, you know, France and other parts of Europe, I'm sure. And as a result, there were some people who didn't get the information for several years, and then there were others who they didn't care. They weren't going to change it. Now, these people were labeled fools by the general populace. They were subject to ridicule and sent on fool's errands. They were sent invitations to non-existing parties and had other practical jokes played upon them. The butts of these pranks became known as Poisson d'Avril, which means, or April Fish, okay? Not April Fools, but April Fish, because a young, naive fish is easily caught. So essentially, usually when a person was pranked and they fell for it, they called that being a young fish. Now, listen to this language, okay, because you hear this today in certain situations as being a new fish. Meaning being naive, being, you know, not up on what's going on. Okay, you see the dots here? It's good, again, to understand and understand what these people, what they did it, how they're still doing it. That's how we are able now to decode it, dismantle it, and get rid of it. Now, moving right along. The harassment evolved over time, and the custom of prank playing continued on the first day of April. This tradition eventually spread elsewhere, like to Britain and Scotland in the 18th century, and was introduced to the American colonies by the English and the French. Because of this spread to other countries, April Fool's Day has taken on an international flavor, with each country celebrating the holiday in its own way. Now, I'm going to leave it at that. I think y'all can take it from there. But it just goes to show you, as we said in our e-blast, any day that these people put out there as being a day on their calendar that they're really recognizing in some kind of way other than just a regular day, you can best believe that day represents something else, and that something else will more than likely not be to your advantage at all. And I say that not just from the very obvious sense, but from more of a metaphysical and from an other realm. And not just metaphysical, I mean a day-to-day reality. So we need to know what this stuff is that we're. So family, we've come down to our last minute. And again, I want to thank all of you for tuning into this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. I hope you have enjoyed our new component here for our show. Again, Self-Determination, Solutions, and Solidarity Sundays. We want to thank all of you again, and please continue to pass the word on. Our regular show is Saturday, 10:30 p.m. time. We do often have special segments, and please sign up for our e-list so that we can keep you abreast of those. Next week, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and I'm sure some other folks between now and then, but definitely stay in tune and in touch with us. You can contact us through our blog or directly at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. The Men Women Movement is officially not only on the move, you ain't seen nothing yet. Until next week, family, and that could be tomorrow. Remember, we bid you in the spirit of Mahdhotep. We leave you in the spirit of Mahdhotep, and we're always with you in the spirit of Mahdhotep. We must have justice in order for there to be peace. Until next time, Tutanana, Kwaheri, and power, prosperity, and peace.